Now it's time for the Southern Cross.
Hello, Southern Cross is back, and Michael Andrew is in studio with us as per. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I am good.
Great.
Yeah, good. Yeah, let's get into it. Sorry.
Wonderful.
We were like talking right up until now, but that's fine. So let's start off with West Papua, is that correct?
Yes.
So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so a bit from West Papua in the news last week. The first story, and this fascinated me because it was kind of blown out of proportion, but interesting nonetheless. So Benny Wender, who's a West Papuan activist, you may have heard of him, but he's an independence leader. He's got a very high profile and he's incredible. He does amazing things. So he's in exile in England, and he lives in Oxford. That's where his headquarters is for his campaign, what have you. And the people of Oxford and the city itself have taken quite a liking to him and his cause, and they decided to award him the city's highest honour, the Freedom of the City Award, which is purely an honorary title. It's not got any practicalities, but it was just because they really recognized his fight and what he was doing for his people, and they really like it, and they fly the flag, the Morning Star, from the Oxford Town Hall, that kind of thing. So it was a pretty really lovely gesture. So I did a story on that, and it just went crazy. Like, people thought it was like kind of like the Nobel Peace Prize. But he is actually a Nobel Peace Prize nominee. But yeah, just purely an honorary title. But the backlash from Indonesian government was so severe. Like,
really?
Yeah, totally typical, just condemning anyone who recognizes a West Papuan activist, even though he's like pretty peaceful.
Yeah.
But he's got an amazing story. Like, he was born in the Highlands, and his family and his village got bombed in an Indonesian air raid, and he had to live in the jungle, and then he got arrested for protesting, and he had to escape from prison and sought exile in Oxford there. And because of that, the people awarded him that title. But yeah, it's just a crazy, crazy thing that Indonesia was so vehemently condemning that.
Yeah.
It's not a huge, I mean, good for him, it's a great thing to have, but it's not like this huge award that is going to give him all this international recognition or anything.
No, it's purely a gesture of kind of goodwill, if you want. But it's really typical of Indonesia to do something like this. And England have come out and said, well, the UK have said, oh, we don't, you know, Oxford's its own little body. It can do what it wants in its city. But we do recognise that West Papua is under sovereignty of Indonesia. So we're not saying, you know, so everyone's coming out and trying to do political back scratching, which is really annoying and quite
disappointing.
Yeah, quite disappointing. But that was probably the top story. That the other one, though, West Papua as well. So there has been an ongoing conflict since in the last 6 months between Indonesian military and independence forces, and a relief group has claimed that at least 139 people have died in displacement camps. So they're claiming about 5,000 people have been displaced from the conflict, and that is in line with what other rights groups are saying. Mm. Indonesia denies this completely, of course. They say it's a hoax, and that there's no proof, but they say that with everything that makes them look bad. So yeah, that's really sad, and that's to do with Indonesia's expansions and develop. This particular conflict is to do with Indonesia's expansion in the Highlands. So they're building this massive highway, Trans Papuan Highway, and it's caused a lot of conflict with some independence fighters targeting the construction workers and killing a bunch of them, and then the military coming in and killing a bunch of the independence fighters and whatnot, and then it's just gone out of control, and then villagers have had to basically evacuate, and it's a whole lot of people dying of malnutrition and poor
and are
living
those,
condition.
Are those people that are displaced, taken out of their homes, are they just sort of obviously completely roughing it, just trying to find somewhere to live and, you know, eat, and can't find those sort of things, and that's why that's killing people? Is that sort of...
Yeah, there's displacement camps, like refugee camps set up, But because Indonesia is not recognizing it as a legitimate conflict zone, and they're not letting any humanitarian aid come in from outside, there's the lack of resources, and basically people are living in squalor and
don't have enough food, no medicine.
So people would naturally succumb to such conditions. But yeah, that's another thing. Like, why? I mean, I don't know. This is my personal view. I don't. It seems like the Indonesian government needs to do like a PR course. Because it just looks terrible. Like, you're not letting anyone in. You're not letting any journalists in. It's an admission of guilt, right? In my opinion, you know.
Well, completely, because it's like there has to be something wrong if you're not, you know. Like, it's very much sort of keeping anything on the down low. You're obviously in the wrong in some way.
Yeah.
You can't be like, oh, no, it's just because there is nothing going on. It's like, well, we do know that there is.
I think any year one PR student would be able to look at this whole thing and be like, well, you may just want to dress it up a little bit and make better choices to make it look like it's actually you're doing the right thing.
But
just shutting it whole off to the world is just, it just looks fishy. It just looks really, really odd. Anyway, that's
always,
my round over.
I feel like it's always very disappointing about what's going on in West Papua. It's always very, very sad and really,
Yeah, but it's also, it's just, there's always so much going on. It's there's never a dull
constantly
moment. I mean,
conflict,
like very
good
tragic
things, but good things like the award, but also then tragic because Indonesia doesn't want anything to do with it. It's awful.
Yeah, totally.
So let's move on to Papua New Guinea. Can you talk to us about that?
Yes, across the border. the Prime Minister of Papua New Guinea is, oh no, there's a different story, sorry. So there was a massacre that happened a couple of weeks ago, which I talked about last week. So
it was with the women and children, is that correct?
Yeah. So in response to that, the United Nations in Port Moresby is going to step up its presence in the Highlands to support the military personnel and the personnel there that are monitoring the situation. So it's kind of helping to mediate between the tribal groups, because there's a lot of resentment and a lot of warfare between the tribes, so they're going to step up their presence to try and improve access to justice with the tribal groups and trying to get them to get along better, which is quite a good a thing to have that extra manpower up in the Highlands. So that's a good development, and probably more is going to happen on that front as well, because it was such an atrocity that it's
devastating.
Gained some really productive attention in that very troubled area.
And I'm right in saying that the leader of Papua New Guinea, or no, it was the police commissioner, he was really, really upset about it and wanted things to happen in that area as well.
So he's the Minister of Police. He's Brian Kramer. So he's great, actually. He's almost like a celebrity over there. But he's been when Peter O'Neill was in government, he was in the opposition, and he's always been fighting the fight. And there's a couple of maverick MPs and leaders that have always done their own thing and have always spoken for the people. And under James Marape, a couple of them, including Brian Kramer, have gotten to power now, and now they're doing what they said they would do all along and really representing the people. So yeah, he was he's got an amazing way through social media of appealing to the people of Papua New Guinea. And so he's spoken personally. He went and visited the village and spoken personally about what he's seen and what wants to happen, and with his with his power behind it, it's getting a traction of its own addressing the issue. But just with on Papua New Guinea as well, a story over the weekend that we will be following up on. James Marape, the Prime Minister of PNG, he's in Australia, and he's basically said to the government that he wants the detention centre on Manus Island closed as soon as possible, because it's been open for 6 years and it's getting all this attention for the refugees there in very terrible conditions, some attempting suicide, so very tragic. But he's basically said he wants a deadline and wants it enclosed ASAP, and the remaining men to be transferred to where they're not going to go into Australia. That's the government's mandate on that one, but they might get expedited to the states where many of them have gone so far.
And is that seen as sort of a positive step? Yes.
Yeah. I mean, it needs that kind of heavy-handed action and outspoken action from the likes of James Marape, because it's a PNG island, so.
Mm. Absolutely. And finally, talking about the Pacific Journalism Review that was published this week.
Yes. So, PJR, Pacific Journalism Review, that it's a yearly publication, and it's published by Pacific Media Centre. Mm. So it takes all the research, a lot of Pacific-based research and articles, and compiles them in an edition. And this year's one, it's a double edition, so it's mostly featuring research and stories and articles about the Christchurch mosque attacks, the background around that. So it features articles by RNZ journalists, like Colin Peacock from Media Watch. Also looks at the New Caledonia independence referendum, which happened last year and will be happening twice in subsequent years as well. The background around that. Also last year's general election in Fiji, and lots of other stuff as well. It looks at I don't know if you ever saw that documentary called Gangsters in Paradise, which was a Vice doco about Tongan criminals that had been deported from the US back to Tonga.
I might have seen clips of it, maybe.
Yeah, it's so good. It's a real well done Vice documentary, but there's a lot of stories and analysis of that, and a bunch of other cool stuff as well. So do give it a read. It's online, and if you can get a hold of one in a hard copy as well. I mean, yeah, it's a really, really interesting publication with lots of relevant issues. For the Pacific. Yes.
Yeah, important reading. And you can, is it just, what is the website to get to it?
I should include in the link. So just pacificjournalismreview.co.nz, I believe it is. And just follow the links and you'll be able to get to the articles. But it's like any research website. You can just type in individual papers as well, and it'll pop up with that one. So kind of
awesome.
Like JSTOR almost. Yeah.
Yeah. What a wonderful resource. That's so cool.
So good if you're a student and looking for
Pacific
references.
Yeah. That's awesome. So read all about the Pacific Media Centre updates at asiapacificreport.nz. Thank you very much again, Michael. It's been wonderful.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That was the Southern Cross.